Happy New Year. 2016. Our theme for 2016 is making a difference. We have the logo there, targeting making a difference. And so what we're going to be doing in 2016 to help us do this is we are having fellowship events, different activities. So our calendars they look like this. And they're out at the Information Center. So if you haven't gotten a hold of a calendar, then pick one up. We had our New Year's Eve party. We had about 40 people here, which is pretty awesome, considering we're averaging about 160 on a Sunday morning. That's a quarter of our Sunday morning attendance at an event, so I consider that a win. So that's awesome. So keep it up. We've got our next event coming up. In the bulletin, you can see that we've got the snow tubing on the 29th. And in these events, what we want to do is we want to have events where we can bring the whole church together. And different events will favor certain groups, but we're trying to get a number of variety of events. The game night could have involved, we had all ages there, and just had a blast with that, had all sorts of chili, and that was wonderful. My favorite was Sherry's, the deer chili. It was like pieces of meat in the texture of butter. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. So, and Gary Borntrager, Diana Fisher's not here today. But I asked Gary first service because he tried every chili that was there. So I said, which one was his favorite? And I was expecting him to say Barbara Jean because that's his wife. And he said Diana Fisher. So I was going to bring that to second service because they attend our second service. So I wanted to let them know, you know, she scored one there. So, but it was a great event. And we're going to have more like that. So pick up a calendar, mark some of those dates off, plan your vacations around it, whatever it takes to be here and be a part of that. So our next one is January 29th. It looks like the temperatures are getting cold enough for Perfect North to start making snow. I checked their website, and they're in the process of doing so. So we're hoping we're going to be good for some snow tubing on January 29th. You'll need to have the waivers filled out and signed and the money to me no later than January 17th. We've already got, I've got my family signed up, and then we've got another group of about 14. They already have their waivers, and they're getting their money in, so we're already up to 18 people, and then I've had different people that have told me, oh, I need to sign up for that. So the sign-up sheet is out there, so we can kind of know who we're looking at, and then pick up a waiver at the Information Center, and we've got that going on. So 2016, a number of things in the bulletin. Please read those and look at the different things we've got going on. I know the homework helpers are starting back up. And then just some other reminders of some things that we're involved in there in the middle of the bulletin. So that's our 2016 Making a Difference. Our first message series under that theme, because we're going to have these, well, I didn't go through that part of it. These events are to bring the church together. That's one part of it. Another part of these events is to have events where we can invite people to those events. So we're wanting, that's kind of a twofold part of these different events. And then the sermon series along the way, all year, they're going to go along with that idea of getting involved and getting together and also bringing people in. And so our first one in this theme of making a difference is joy and excitement in church. So we're coming off of our Christmas season and we're turning the corner into a new year. And we have a reason to be excited. We have a reason to have joy. And that should be reflected in our church. It should be reflected in our worship services. It should be reflected in our events as we get together for different things. We do have a reason for joy and excitement in church. And this month we're going to be exploring why we do and what does that matter to MCC? You know, what does that mean to MCC? Next month in February, we're going to be talking about how reasons why someone would like to attend Miami Town Church of Christ. Very specific, very personal series there about our church. We need to be reminded that we have some good stuff here. We have reasons why people would choose to worship here. And the new people that come in, the new members and different things, I get a chance to hear some of that. But some of you who are here time and time, you know, week in and week out, you might not realize some of the things that we've got that are just really good here. And so we're going to take February and remind us all about that. I know Walt Rolfes, when J. Henry was in town, Walt went around to different churches with J. Henry. And when he came back to church here, Walt was like, these people need to go out and visit a few other churches for a month and then come back and realize how awesome our church is and what we've got here. And it was just neat to see the excitement in his eyes about the worship and the quality of just the different levels of service that we have here. And so it's just really good. So we're going to be talking about that in February. Very specific, why we would want to invite someone here. So if we're inviting people to our events, I think it would be important for us to kind of refresh our minds why it would be important, what we have to offer on a Sunday morning, so that they come to the New Year's Eve or New Year's Eve game night, or go snow tubing, or any of the other different events we've got, that you'd be able to say, hey, you know, come join us on Sunday. We've got this and this and this, and you can be excited about that. So we've got that. That's very specific. Before we get there, though, I wanted to kind of cover a very general subject of joy and excitement in church. That for all of us that are here, to set an ambiance, to set an environment, an atmosphere, we all need to understand there's a reason to have joy. There's a reason to be excited. And that should be something that we all feel every time we come in here. And so this month, we're going to be focusing on that, on those of us who are already committed to God, that have already committed to each other as members of the church here, why we have joy and excitement. So first of all, we have joy and excitement because we have peace, and that's what today is about. Peace brings joy. Paul opens all 13 of his letters in the New Testament by wishing grace and peace upon his readers. 11 of those letters, he says grace and peace, and then the two letters that he writes to Timothy, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, he includes mercy. He says grace, mercy, and peace to you. Peter also opens his two letters that are in the New Testament by saying grace and peace to you be yours in abundance. Jude opens his letter by saying mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. 2 and 3 John also include peace in the greeting. 2 John is grace, mercy, and peace. And then 3 John is peace to you. John opens the book of Revelation by the same greeting of grace and peace. He says, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you. It would be easier to list the books in the New Testament that don't begin with the word peace. In the four Gospels, of course, those are kind of into the story of Jesus, so it's not written specifically to the church as far as a greeting there. We've got the book of Acts, a history book, Hebrews, James, and 1 John. And even though they don't start with the word peace, peace is in those books, the mention of peace, the topic of peace. In fact, the only book in the New Testament is 1 John that doesn't have the word peace in it. Peace, it permeates the New Testament. It's a word that is meant to be understood as synonymous with the church. The church should know peace. We should feel peace. We should be at peace because that's what we have. Grace and peace be to you. So that's my greeting this morning to you as well. Peace is the third listed in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Peace is mentioned in the famous armor of God. We talked about Ephesians last August. And we talked about the armor of God, the famous armor of God passage. And peace is one of the pieces of the armor of God, the shoes of peace, to take the gospel of peace out. Peace is a pretty popular word in the New Testament. Almost 100 times, nearly 100 times it shows up. We should have peace. It's understood that we should have peace. One of the places that Paul writes about peace is in Philippians chapter 4. Now last week, as we finished up our Christmas series, we talked about Philippians chapter 2 and the humble king. And something I didn't mention about Philippians last week is that Philippians is one of the prison epistles. Last year, we looked through, it sounds funny to say last year, it was this 3 days ago. But last year, we talked about the epistles and how different groups of letters, groups of epistles were labeled different things for different reasons. And there's a group of letters called the prison epistles because Paul wrote them while he was in prison. Philippians is one of those, it's a prison epistle. Last year, the book of Ephesians that I just mentioned a moment ago, that was the prison epistle that we looked at last year. So he was writing to the Philippians, the church in Philippi, while he was in prison. Paul, in chains for Christ, awaiting an audience with Caesar in Rome, he writes this: rejoice in the Lord always. And again, well, different verse, and I'll read what I have here. I will say it again, rejoice. Rejoice! Paul's in prison, and he's writing to the church in Philippi. And his instructions, his encouragement, rejoice. Rejoice. You have a reason to be joyful, church. You have a reason to rejoice. You have a reason to be excited. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. No matter what happens, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what your surroundings are, you should be able to rejoice. I should be able to rejoice. We should be able to have joy no matter what it is, no matter what's going on in our life. I've heard it said that happiness is circumstantial, but joy, it supersedes circumstances. It goes beyond our surroundings. Joy, we can have joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And if that's not enough, Paul makes sure that they understand what he's trying to say. He says, I will say it again. Rejoice. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to tie this subject of joy and peace together, because that's what Paul does in Philippians chapter 4. But we're going to kind of have a little foreshadowing here. So let's go and write this down. Receiving God's peace gives a joy. So receiving God's peace gives a joy. It allows us to be able to rejoice in the Lord always. Receiving God's peace gives a joy that cannot be threatened or affected by our surroundings. Cannot be affected or threatened by our surroundings. Our joy comes from a peace with God. That's why it transcends our environment or our situations. That's why it circumvents our circumstances. We can rejoice in all situations. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Everyone say always. Always. We can rejoice in the Lord always. Why? Because we have peace in the Lord always. We have peace in the Lord no matter what. Our peace is not dependent on our circumstances or our surroundings. It's not dependent on our situation. It's not defined by our environment. It's not earned through our own actions. Our peace is a gift from God. The psalmist writes in Psalm 29, he says, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with what? Peace. Let's write that down. Peace is a blessing from God. God blesses his people with peace. That's an important thing to understand when we're thinking about peace and joy. Peace is a gift from God. It is a blessing from God. God is the only dependable source of true peace. And the only way to get true peace is to have it gifted to you, to be blessed by God with it. Receiving a blessing or receiving a gift from God is always going to be better than anything you can create on your own, anything you can earn on your own. And so let me encourage you, as we turn the corner, as we start 2016, just accept God's peace. Accept it. So often we try to create our own peace, don't we? I mean, if we're honest with ourselves. We try to create our own peace through things we buy, through situations we try to create for ourselves. We try to put ourselves in a peaceful situation. We try to find peace in the people that surround us. We have a vacation spot that we run to, or an activity that we find refuge in. I like playing video games. That's relaxing for me. I like Taekwondo. I like the forms. That's very relaxing for me. You know, low block, grab their throat, and then grab their leg, break the knee. That's relaxing. Enjoy that. You know, I like going to the zoo. Going to the zoo is very relaxing for me. Those are peaceful activities because they're relaxing. Is there anything wrong with those? Well, I guess that's probably not encouraging a passive behavior, but there's nothing wrong with enjoying peaceful activities. But so often we don't separate in our mind the source of our peace versus activities that are peaceful. Sometimes we mistake this for that, and we can't do that. These are peaceful activities. I relax when I'm doing them, but they're not the source of my peace. The source of my peace is Christ Jesus. And that never changes. And I think that's so easy for us to get confused. And then so often we try to earn our own peace. We try to gain our own peace. We try to buy our own peace. We think, well, if I can go on this vacation, or if I can do this thing, or if I can do that, or if I can be around these people, then I'll have peace. We need to understand those things are peaceful. They might help us relax, but you can't depend on them as your source of peace. Your source of peace has to be in Christ Jesus. That's how you're going to have a true source of peace, because peace is a blessing from God. John captured some dialogue that took place between Jesus and the disciples in the upper room. In John chapter 13, Jesus interrupts the Last Supper, and he gets up from the table and he washes the disciples' feet. John captures that in John chapter 13. Well, then in John chapter 13, the rest of 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. 17's got some prayers in it for as Jesus is praying. And then there, the rest of that is all dialogue. It's them listening to Jesus talk. It's John recording everything he could remember that Jesus had shared in that time period from the Last Supper to the walk to the garden. And there's a lot of really great things there. And so in the midst of this conversation that Jesus has with his disciples, just before his arrest, just before his trials, just before his beatings and the mocking, before his crucifixion, before the chaotic events that were on the horizon of that evening, Jesus tells his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." Key point here, I do not give to you as the world gives. We can't take these two versions of peace and believe that they're the same thing. You have peaceful activities you're involved in here on earth. Nothing wrong with those. But the peace that comes from God, it's a different kind of peace. The peace that Jesus says, I give you, it's not the kind of peace you're going to get here on earth. It's a different kind of peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So we can't afford to confuse peaceful things of this world with the peace that God gives. Let's write this down. God's definition of peace is not the same as the world's definition. God's definition of peace is not the same as the world's definition. The peace that Jesus promised the disciples is not the peace that the world offers. The peace that you are blessed with God by, it's not the same peace that you would define as peace here on earth. It's not the peace that the world gives. It's different. God's definition of peace is not the same as the world's definition. Back to our text in Philippians. Paul connects his encouragement to rejoice in the Lord always to the peace with God. Now I'll show you where this connects here. Rejoice in the Lord always. We'll reread that. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. We're going to come back to that section. He says, and the peace of God. Everyone say peace. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. It goes beyond any understanding that we have. It goes beyond our understanding. It transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God's peace is often beyond our understanding. This gift that comes from God, this blessing of peace, this peace that Jesus gives that's different than what the world gives. A part of the reason why it's different is it goes beyond our understanding. If you're a new Christian and you haven't quite experienced this yet, let me assure you, it will come. It will be there sometime in your life. Those of us who have been Christians for a while, we know, and we can agree with each other so that you know that it's real. There will be times in your life when your circumstances, when your situation, when the atmosphere, the environment that your life is in, there's no peace to be found there. But you will have peace. And you'll have no idea why, aside from it's from the Lord. You won't understand it because it won't make sense that you have peace in this situation or in this mess or whatever it is. And it'll be real. I'm really at peace, and it blows my mind. It makes no sense. I should be completely full of anxiety right now. I should be worrying myself sick. I shouldn't be sleeping or eating because of the situation I'm in, but I'm sleeping fine at night. I'm doing all right. Why? Because Paul says, he describes it very clearly. God gives a peace that transcends all understanding. It goes beyond all understanding. That's a wonderful thought. I don't have to make sense out of it. It doesn't have to connect with me logically to have peace. I don't have to understand some formula or some way that it works. I can just accept it as a blessing from God. A peace that's not as the world gives. It's different. And I can just accept it and rest in it. I mean, that's not just me, Christians. Yes. Yeah, you've been there. It's happened before. It will happen again. It's a blessing from God. As we bounce between Philippians and John here for a moment, back in the conversation that Jesus has with his disciples before his arrest and crucifixion, in John chapter 16, Jesus says, I've told you these things so that you may have what? Peace. In this world, you will have trouble. So he acknowledges, man, things are going to be messed up. You're going to have trouble. I tell you this so you can have peace, but you're still going to have trouble. There's still going to be trouble in the world. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. It's awesome. Let's write this down. God's peace is not the absence of problems. It's his presence through them. That's what brings peace. Jesus is acknowledged. He acknowledges there's going to be troubles in this world. I'm here to give you peace. He doesn't say, I want to give you peace and I want to take away your troubles. He says, I say this. I share these words with you so that you can have peace. Very next sentence. In this world, you will have trouble. It's not that we get peace because God removes the trouble from our life. We don't have peace because he separates us from hardship or from difficult times or from things that happen, whether they're accident or completely, you know, vengeful things that happen towards you from other people or whatever it is. You will have trouble in life. Jesus acknowledges that. The peace he gives, it's not the result of removing you from the trouble. The peace he gives is that he enters in the trouble with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you through this. I love that. Take heart. I have overcome the world. That's Jesus' reason. I share these words with you so that you can have peace. There will be trouble in your life, but take heart. I have overcome. Say overcome. I have overcome the world. Let's write this down. Did I get that one? Yes, I did. It's the assurance that God has overcome and overpowered the sources of our unrest. That's where we get peace from. Knowing full well that no matter what it is that's causing you unrest, whatever it is that's causing you anxiety or causing you to worry, guess what, church? Jesus is bigger than that. He has overcome that. He's overpowered that. Jesus is bigger than whatever it is you're worrying about. Jesus is bigger than your troubles. Jesus is bigger than the anxiety you're dealing with. Jesus is bigger than the sources of your unrest. God has overcome and he has overpowered those sources. Paul says in Romans chapter 16, 20, and I always think this is a kind of funny verse, and I'll share why in a minute, but the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. So let's leave that up there for just a moment. Because the reason why I think it's kind of funny is because I think this verse is kind of a paradox. Not two docks side by side. That's a pair of docks. But I mean a paradox. The God of peace. So that's, you know, just kind of hippie-ish, you know. The God of peace. The God of peace. Peace. It's such a happy. We'll soon crush Satan. It's just. what? That just doesn't seem to fit, does it? The God of peace will act violently, will crush Satan. It's just kind of funny to have those two things right there together. But it doesn't say he's the God of peace for Satan. That's how we get peace. We know that he has overcome. We know that he has overpowered. And I love that he'll crush him under our feet. It's like we get a chance to be there. We get a chance to see it. You know, there have been times in my life where I've just been so frustrated with the devil's activities that I want, and this was in years past, that, you know, I want to just, under the protection of God, to just be able to punch Satan in the face on my way in to heaven, you know. And now that, you know, I've developed some other skills, I don't know, I could use all sorts of things, you know, reverse sidekick and drop him, I don't know. But I don't have to do that. Jesus has done that. He has overcome death. He has overpowered anything that's going to cause you any kind of anxiety or any kind of worry. He has overcome that. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. So receiving God's peace gives a joy that cannot be threatened or affected by our surroundings. So that's God's side of this whole peace and joy thing. But what about us? Do we have a part in this? Do we have a part to play in understanding, accepting, and receiving this peace? Absolutely we do. Peter quotes Psalm 34, so we kind of have a double dose here. It's Old Testament and New Testament where this shows up. It's in Psalm 34, and then Peter thought enough of it to quote it in his letter. 1 Peter chapter 3, he says, "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil, their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good." We're going to come back to that, so file that part of verse 11 away. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and what? Pursue it. So let's write this down. If we really want peace, and I don't know who wouldn't, especially after the first half of this, hearing what that is, the joy that peace brings. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now I'll say rejoice. We rejoice because we have peace. If we really want that peace, we must pursue it. We must pursue it. Back to the passage from this morning, Philippians chapter 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything." Say anything. Anything. Say anything. Anything. That's a big word. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every, some situations, few situations, just the big ones. What is it? In every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The one way that we pursue peace in every situation is that we trust God. We trust God in every situation. Let's write that down. We must trust God in every situation. Paul says, don't be anxious. Instead, talk to God about what upsets you. Talk to God about what's bothering. Talk to God about what's worrying you, what's causing you anxiety, what's causing you unrest. Go to the God of peace and talk to him about it. Pursue peace. Go after it. Trust God in every situation. Pursue peace by trusting him. Letting go of our anxieties by taking them to God in prayer. Not new information for some of you, but every one of us need to be reminded of this from time to time. Because I guarantee you, everyone in this room is holding on to something that's causing anxiety in their life. You're holding on to something that's causing worry or stress or whatever. And you know this to be true, but you need to hear it sometimes. And you're here on a Sunday morning, and you're hearing it, and you're reading it in the scripture, and you're going, oh, I should have let that go a long time ago. That's been bugging me for months, all of 2015. And now, why didn't you have this sermon last year? Let it go. I'm not going to start singing that. But let go of your anxiety and give it to God in prayer. Talk to him about it. And not just the big things. Let's write this down. The big, the small, and all in between. When we were talking about this in the preaching team meeting on this subject, we were discussing this, and I thought maybe it was just me, and it was kind of interesting when everyone else kind of brought it up, because I didn't bring it up first. And the thought was that it's easy to trust God with the big stuff. And I was like, oh, me too. And then someone else in the table, you know, me too. And it's kind of neat how church does that. You know, you kind of share something and you think, well, this is just me. And you find out that really it's not. It's a lot of us feel this way. But it's really, for me and from some of the people in the preaching team and maybe a good number of you here, you would share that with me, that it's easy to give God the big stuff. Partly because if it's so big you can't do anything about, you don't have a chance. You're like, I can't affect this. It's bigger than I am. I can't change the blood test results that came back from the doctor. I can't change that I got laid off because they were laying off hundreds of people at work. Or I can't change that this happened. I can't change that the deer jumped out in front of me and totaled my car. I can't change these things. They're so big, I can't do anything about them. So it's easy to give those to God because I can't do anything. And so you give those to God, but we hang on to the little things, it seems. This is too small to give to God. I can handle this. What does Paul say? Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, give God the little things. Give him the big things, give him the little things, and all that's in between. Right? The couples that I've had in my office that have had trouble in their marriage, it's typically not some big thing that's caused the trouble. It's typically a bunch of little things that just chip away and chip away at the marriage. That's what causes the problems. And if that's true for a marriage, then what about your life? If you're giving God the big things, but you're keeping all the little things, and you're in here on a Sunday morning at the beginning of 2016 and hearing Paul write from prison, rejoice in the Lord always, and you're thinking, I can't do that always. I don't have joy. And you realize, well, I don't have peace. I give God the big things. Are you giving him the little things? Or are they gnawing away at you? Are they chipping away at your joy and your peace? Give him everything. Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. In every situation, big, small, and all in between. Romans 15, Paul says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So just trust him. So we trust God. We give it to God. We go to God in prayer. So that's one way we pursue peace. Another way we pursue peace, and this was in Psalm 34, as Peter quoted it in chapter 3, when he said, you need to turn from evil and do good. That's the other part of it that we can do. Let's write this down. We must focus our heart and mind on godly things. We must focus our heart and our mind on godly things. That's another way that you can pursue peace. You can be active in pursuing peace. Turn from evil and do good. Pursuing God's peace is a conscious choice to focus on godly things. When you focus on things that are not godly, they don't bring peace. They might deceive you into thinking you're going to have peace for a little while. They might be somewhat enjoyable for a little while, otherwise they wouldn't be, you know, alluring to you. But in the end, a lot of that stuff is not going to bring peace. A lot of it's going to bring turmoil. A lot of it's going to bring heartache. Especially when you're involved in things that are not of God, not just kind of neutral things. When you're involved in things that where the psalmist says, turn from evil and do good. If you want to pursue peace, here's a way that you can do that. Do good things. Focus your heart and your mind. Focus your heart and your head on godly things. Paul says in Colossians, he said, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace and be thankful. And then going back to our passage this morning, Philippians chapter 4, I want to read from the beginning to get a running start into this last little section. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, goes beyond your ability to comprehend it, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind, your heart and your head in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I think this is kind of an interesting list that Paul gives out, because he just mentions that the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. And you know, we don't think in our heart. We think about our heart here, but really it just pumps blood. So, but really, you know, you've got your left and right side of the brain. You know, so your heart kind of is on the right side, and the brain side, logic, is on the left. This is your creative side. You know, this is your more logical side. And I think it's kind of interesting, this list. He kind of bounces back and forth between right brain and left brain, which would be head and heart. So let's write that down in your bulletins, these two comparisons here, head and heart. And I'm going to go through, I'm going to read this again, and watch how these bounce back and forth. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, it's kind of a head thing, it's a mind thing. You got true and false, it's black and white, it's Joe Friday, right? It's true, it's false. Black and white, heart. Whatever is noble. Just because it's heart doesn't mean it's feminine, because noble is very masculine, but it's still emotional. It's still a noble. Whatever is right. Once again, back to the black and white. It's right, it's wrong. It's true, it's false. Whatever is pure. And then on that same side, he switches it up a little bit. Whatever is lovely. And then back over to the head, whatever is admirable. You look at something that's admirable, you're looking at qualities, you're looking, it's kind of listing, it's right brain or left brain. Whatever is excellent, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I think it's neat how he talks about that. And that's just kind of a bonus thing, just to kind of help you remember some of that. So 2016, church, peace brings joy. There's no reason why we should be without joy as a church. Amen? Amen. So accept God's peace. Receive God's peace. Understand that it's different than what the world gives. Understand that he gives peace because he has overcome anything that you will face, have faced, or are facing now. Pursue peace by trusting in him and by focusing your heart and mind on godly things.